My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Roofing, we've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're back to your regular schedule. Mike, by the way, when'd you guys get in, by the way, flying back from Europe?
About 6 o'clock here in the A.
Okay.
Yeah, flying from Milan. And it was great. By the way, made it all the way through, like, the cobblestone streets of Dublin, walking through Roman ruins, these little tiny old towns in Tuscany, walking all over the Monza racecourse. And we get to the airport. My wife, pow, runs me in with, like, a 50-pound suitcase right into my left knee. And I'm literally like, ah, ah. And she's like, you know, oh, great. I have to hear about this now. I go,
Yes.
I'm literally, and she's running through Milan Airport. I'm like, I'm back here. Like, I'm limping like Chester on Gunsmoke. You know, my knee is like flopping like a salmon.
But you were taking painkillers?
Yes, I am on pain. I'm on pain medication right now for Florida State and my knee.
Well, it's good to have you back. Go check out the photos and whatnot at Mike Bell ATL. I said to Mike when we started the show today, I literally, you know, we love to post. I love the fact that he's sharing his trip. But I was like, dude, are you enjoying your trip? Literally, and I think the over-under, because Turtle was like, how much do you think Michael, you know, put post up there? And I said, oh, he'll post a little bit. And bottom line is, I think he won the over-under, Mike, because every time we turned around, it was like, I'm here. I'm here. We're like, man.
But I mean, it's like, it's not like, you know, we post and I get in a car like it's the Amazing Race. I run to the next spot. I mean, no, we go take the picture outside the Coliseum. It's like 100 degrees in Rome. And then we go sit down. It's a nice place with, you know, air conditioning and a tent.
Did you do that tour you told me about?
No, they called at the last minute. It was overbooked. And so the day, I got to be honest, that day after the way we hit Rome, we would have been, Becky was literally looking at me like, I don't feel good. We're about to pass out. So we sat down, you know, drinking some Bellinis and, you know, some Negroni, all the, having some good times, Negronis, and then getting kind of cooled off. We did the Vatican tour. And that was something I've always wanted to do because I love the history of it, because it's not just Catholic history. They've got Roman stuff, and it's amazing. It's one of the most unbelievable things. Got to go to the Sistine Chapel.
Very nice.
You know, the whole thing. But Becky and
stuff
I...
Stuff you have to do,
my
right?
wife, but we don't do organized stuff. Remember I told you last week? She's like, I'm like, do we, you want to go see David, the statue in Florence? She's like, is it like the one at Caesar's Palace that I've seen? It's fine. So Florence, even though it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world, we were very happy in our little town in Tuscany called Cortona.
Yeah.
So we just hung. But yeah, but that was the only part where we would sit and have some cool moments, and next thing you know, we're drinking. And pop the phone out, send a tweet to you.
No, it was great.
Dublin was bananas, by the way. Met so many great Georgia Tech folks, some old friends I hadn't seen since back in the day, and a lot of Florida State fans who live here in Atlanta. But that atmosphere, I know it's been 2 weeks now, but that atmosphere was unbelievable in Ireland. They had so much fun.
No, man, and it was a great game. I mean, bottom line, it came down.
It was a fantastic finish.
It was. It came down to the wire, and as a fan, you know, you want your team to win, but also for that money. Yeah, I mean, can I be entertained? And that was a lot of entertainment.
And it was funny because the Florida State fans were they took over the Temple Bar and the Irish, you know, like the big Irish party.
Come on, O.
I mean,
I told you.
The ball.
Yes, thank you.
The Irish love Florida State because we're out there tipping, having a ball. And early in the week on Saturday when we got there, guys like, where's Georgia Tech?
Run the ball. the ball.
And I said, well, they're all rich. They're out of the the golf course resorts. You know, they're in other parts of Ireland. We're all here for the party. And as one guy said, it was kind of funny with the bartenders.
He goes, run the ball.
He goes, so like you're like the cool kids and they're the nerds. I go, exactly. Yeah. And the nerds won.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Oh, put this together for me last week when we came in.
Run the ball.
Because I love Brent Key after the game when he said that. And he said it so like emphatically, like, what did you think we were going to do?
Right.
Run the ball. And guess what? Guess what Boston College did? Run the ball.
I mean,
same thing.
A lot of tweets and stuff about FSU the last 2 weeks for good reason. I will say this. Florida State fans are so excited to get out of the ACC and go make the big bucks. You're ready for the Big 12 because you play defense like you're in the Big 12. You don't tackle. Like I said to you, it's like you've never seen any degree of motion in the backfield or any kind of misdirection or play action. And guys literally, nobody sets the edge. The entire team is on the other side of the field.
D-line got pushed around in both games, man. D-line right. got pushed around. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We got a lot to dive into. Coming up, West Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. He also called the Georgia Tech game the other night. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on in college football, but we'll talk about week one. Have I mentioned? It's game week. Big O, let's get to an NFL blitz. Hey,
hey. Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
The news you need to know in regards to the Falcons is this. Steelers are going to be without their starting left guard, Isaac Seumalo. For the season opener, Coach Mike Tomlin can confirm this today, and that's a big deal. Now, we don't wish injury on anybody, but this guy, you know, he had a pec injury at practice, and we kind of brought it up last week and said, okay, well, do we know what the deal is? He left practice. Nobody was talking about it. Well, Tomlin said today he is going to miss week one. Now, that does not mean he'll miss the entire season or miss multiple games, but that is a big loss on that offensive line for the Steelers and our former head coach, Arthur Smith, who is now running that offense.
Yeah, just don't know what this – you know, we think we have a great defense. We think our defense is certainly going to be better now. Will we jump into one of those elite categories where we talk we got more than 50 sacks, which is
an area? No, that's a convenient narrative.
Well, again, Arthur, hopefully Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson will hold on to the ball too much. Look, we're playing guys who take a lot of sacks. Russell Wilson takes a lot of sacks. If it's Fields, Fields part of the reason he got run out of Chicago is he takes too many sacks.
Yep, held on to the ball too long. Hey, man, let's hear from our buddy. I say that because I can't wait to see this guy play. Justin Simmons. Justin, have they gotten you up to speed on everything? Are you ready?
The acclimation to catch up here has been seamless from, you know, the strength staff to the training room to the meeting rooms. Everyone here has been top-notch and has really worked with me in order to get me where I need to be. And so, you know, come Sunday, man, I'm just looking forward to letting loose and playing good ball and, you know, finding ways to contribute to the team to help them win.
Yeah. He says all the right things. He can play. Hopefully he has an impactful week one for our Atlanta Falcons. Mike, we know there are two games this week, right, to kick things off. Obviously, in Kansas City, it's the Ravens at Kansas City. And then in Brazil,
yes.
Green Bay and the Eagles.
Hi, Poppy. Hi. Yeah.
Nick Sirianni was talking about, hey, it's a business trip. We're not going down there to look at things, if you know what I'm saying. Uh-huh.
We're going there to play and win a win a football game. That's our goal. That's our, you know, our only goal as we go down there. And so, you know, it's just getting everybody in the right mindset of what you want, what you need to be when you go down there. It's like you can control the things that you can control. Like we're going to Brazil to play. That's what it is, and we're excited about that. We're excited about the opportunity to play in a neutral site, knowing that you know that. And they have a slightly different schedule of things that happen.
Again, I don't know why they just didn't fire him. We talked about it with our host buddy up in Philly that was saying, look, he's kind of like a figurehead. He's kind of just like the CEO of the team, which is okay, I guess. But getting back to the initial point you made, no, it's a business trip. We're here to play football in a great environment with incredibly hot women, scantily
yes.
clad.
Yes.
They'll be literally throwing themselves at our athletes for the 72 hours we're here in Sao Paulo.
But we're here to win a game.
We're here to win a game. We will not be focused on the lack of clothing and the incredible bodies and the amazing tan-toned bodies and the amazingly beautiful women that only want to have sex with our football players.
Coach, even when you come out of the hotel and they're standing there?
Focused like a laser, our squad will pay no attention to any of the distractions, including the thousands of groupies that will be flocked to our hotel.
And there will be. Friday.
Booty sweat.
Yes, Friday is that game. Hey, Tyreek Hill, he got a bump.
Julio.
And they paid everybody down there. Mike, he says this is the best Dolphins team he's been on. period. Listen to this.
We all excited, man. We got a lot of weapons, a lot of playmakers on this team, man. So everybody's, you know, on the very edge of their seats, man, you know, just waiting for this moment. I think these three days that, you know, we had off, all I could think about, you know, was just, you know, lining up, playing, you know, alongside of the guys, you know, on offense. So I'm very excited, man. Like, every year is another opportunity, man, like, to win games and, you know, create memories, man. Like,
man,
you know, a great group of guys. And you said it, like, this is our best team that we done had since we've been here. So what a time to be alive, man, to be a Dolphin fan.
No, I'm going to disagree with you on that, Terry. And I'll give you some examples. I won't just, you know, simply poop on your take. I'll give you some evidence that that's a lie.
Okay.
The team that you took to the playoffs last year that folded like a cheap suit has lost. Christian Wilkins got $110 million from the Raiders.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Robert Hunt, the guard, got $100 million from the Panthers. Andrew Van Winkle, one of the linebackers, got $20 million from the Vikings. Brandon Jones left for $20 million. Ogba's not there. Xavier Howard's gone. So, no, it's not a better team than you played last year, which was the best Dolphins team you played on.
No, I'm with you. And Tua doesn't win in cold weather, but we'll have to wait until the playoffs to figure that out. It's Dukes and Bell, NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. A couple of news notes. Trent Williams, 49ers, are finalizing a deal to end his holdout. Duh. Best left tackle in football. 49ers run game does not exist. Christian McCaffrey does not do what he does without this dude. Now, he was already one of the top paid tackles, but Mike, at 36, he realized, baby, I only got a little bit of time left. I might as well hold out and get some more money, which is exactly what he did. So he's getting just a little bit of a bump. But bottom line is, he's going to be on the field. They also create some cap space, $5.4 million in cap space by restructuring his deal. And also, Ja'Marr Chase does not practice. Is Ja'Marr Chase going to be on the field?
Well, I was just reading some of the Bengals stuff from some of the NBC Sports and their fan websites, and it sounds like he's prepared to, like they said in Godfather, go to the mattresses and just take this through week one. You know, you don't get the money back like the old days, but yeah, Ja'Marr Chase, he's been hanging out. He's listed as day-to-day. He's been at practice, but he's not been practicing. And it just seems like everything I'm reading that in Cincinnati, they're literally like lighting a candle and crossing their fingers. That doesn't seem like a sound strategy. So we'll see. How'd the Ayuk thing play out while I was gone?
Well, he got the same deal. It was 4 years, 120.
Right.
That they offered him like 3 months ago. He literally was like, nah, I ain't taking that. I need more. I'm out of here. I want to trade. And then like, okay, I'll take it. So he gets, and his average per year average is still about $30 million, which is like the going rate for these top guys. But Mike, he ends up back there, and everybody's happy now.
Yeah, and on the other side of it, CeeDee Lamb, for fantasy owners, if you did a mock draft, okay, I may have done one on the plane.
Did you get him?
If you do a mock draft, they have him listed as like, you know, on like a commissioner's list. No, it's because they're not sure, it's not confirmed he's going to play. CeeDee Lamb is going to play week one for the Cowboys.
Yeah,
despite the lack of practice.
He's definitely going to play. Hey, by the way, did you see who our captains were for your Atlanta Falcons?
Lay it on me.
This came out. All four have previously held the role of captain during their time, whether it be here or somewhere else. Kirk Cousins, Jake Matthews, Grady, nice. And Jesse Bates.
Sounds about right. Those are your team leaders.
Yeah, they will don the captain badge on their respective jerseys this season. So congrats to those guys, man. And by the way, guys vote on that. You know how that works with the team. All right, we got more to get to. Wes
Drew Ham
is going to join us.
Oh, he's going to break my balls on Florida State.
He probably is. Yeah. He called the Georgia Tech game the other night. But listen, did I mention it's game week? We got to talk about the Falcons as well. Wes is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A Sunday. Falcons play the Steelers. The action can be heard right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're not only your home for the Falcons, but you're home for the National Football League all season long, all the big games. And we can't wait, guys. As we talk about the Falcons, and we're going to talk some college football as well, Wes Durham joins us, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Wes, I saw your great broadcast for Georgia Tech, obviously taking you back a little bit. And you got a chance to reminisce a little bit for the days that you called those games. But, you know, they responded. And I just want to start there because everybody said, okay, what's going to happen after they win in Ireland against Florida State? Georgia State team came out. I thought they were ready. And then you get a goal line stand, and all of a sudden, you know, things shift, and Georgia Tech turned it on. Tell me what your impressions were of this Brent Key team.
Well, I think, first of all, Georgia Tech answered kind of the bell about, you know, you're going to be, you know, the Florida State hangover. And, you know, I think he challenged his team during the week. They processed forward. They got back from Ireland and processed it forward. And I thought that was an important trait of Brent's staff and really kind of this player-led team to go ahead and move forward as fast as they could and play. Now, on the other side, give Del McGee a lot of credit. That's a staff that was thrown together quickly, as you guys know, in the spring when Sean Elliott left. He knows the transfer portal. He brought some guys in there, and I thought he gave his players a chance to win the game. And to be honest with you, I came out of there thinking, you know what, they weren't sure what they were going to get, or at least that's what they told us. And I think they got a lot to build on, and I think they're going to be an interesting team to follow in the Sun Belt. I think that league's really good, by the way. I think it can produce the G5 team in the playoff. But Georgia State's going to be interesting to follow. I'm excited and optimistic for Georgia Tech if they can stay healthy, Carl and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
The schedule is still the schedule. Saturday at noon will be no joke. At Syracuse, Fran Brown's done a nice job creating momentum and enthusiasm up there, and they got guys flying around the ball. And now that Georgia Tech's back in the top 25, they're going to play a game now where they're the hunted. And how does Haynes King and that group, Kyle Eifert on defense, how do they respond? I think it's going to be really interesting Saturday at noon.
It is our man, Wes Drew Ham.
Oh, welcome back, Michael. Good to have you back in the country.
Buongiorno and buonasera. Yeah, Wes.
Customs, everything go clean at customs?
Yeah, man. And by the way, a lot of Georgia Tech fans always, they say they love hearing you when you're on the show with us when I met you in Dublin. And that was
a blast. Of course, you saw him in Dublin. Good Lord. I mean, it was pretty much the American takeover, I heard, huh?
It really was. I was telling Carl last break, it was an absolute blast. Coach O'Leary was over there. I mean, it was a scene.
That's right, Mike, yeah.
That's great. Go get some Jamesons. Go make it a double. But no, it was a great time. Wes, I said to Carl, the thinking and the way they approach it, Brent Key, you saw, we were like, why is O'Brien taking this Boston College job? It's a George O'Leary-like effort. They don't beat themselves. They play strong fundamental football, and there's an ethos. Florida State now has to turn to a bunch of guys who have no investment in Florida State other than they got the most money out of them. So how does that work for Coach Norvell in a very difficult situation?
Carl, good to know by Tuesday at 4, the bats are already stacked for ball.
He's done.
The season's over. Wes, season's over. Season's freaking over. There's nowhere to go for Florida State. I mean, we'll be back in the Cheez-It Bowl this year.
Carl, if you're lucky, you'll be in the Cheez-It Bowl. Mike, here's the thing about Florida State that concerns me. I heard how good they were going to be on the defensive front, and the first two games people have lined up and hit them in the mouth. They've lined up and run the ball on them.
Right.
Castellanos is a handful. From a impact perspective, he's a lot more than Haynes King, right? So in 2 weeks, you've had two different style quarterbacks basically write the same prescription. The other thing is, and I hate to be this guy, Uiagalelei is exactly who Uiagalelei's been.
Exactly right. Cam Ward's the guy you wanted. He looks like a world beater down there in Miami.
Now hang on a second. Cam Ward's got a big time offensive line. He's got a big time defensive front. His front seven is legit on defense. Mm-hmm. And he's got exactly who he needs from a skill perspective. Mark Fletcher is a three down back, and he's got the big tall wide receivers. And oh, by the way, he's got the college version of a pain in the ass in Xavier Restrepo.
Right.
And he's got a tight end who played when Eisenhower was in office. So, right. I mean, you know, Miami, this is as good as Miami, and you weren't here last week, and I told Carl this is as good as Miami's been since they joined the ACC.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm not surprised what happened Saturday. All these people that were on the Gator bandwagon last week, I don't know what they were thinking. But that's fine. Line up for the Gators and, you know, Squid, everybody get on the Gator wagon. But the idea for me was I thought Miami would win the game. It was a matter of how much they'd win the game. So the idea here is I think Florida State's situation is they have to get it fixed, and thank goodness they're not playing this Saturday. But Memphis is no pushover. That's another G5 contender for the CFP. And in all honesty, you know, this is how deep the ACC is. What you're seeing with Georgia Tech, kind of what you saw last night, and that's one game with Boston College and two with Georgia Tech. But I thought Miami had a chance to be good. The Virginia Tech thing is the head-scratcher. I'm not surprised Clemson lost to Georgia. Right. The way they lost to Georgia surprised me. I think Georgia's immensely talented and has really no reason not to be in the playoff at the end. But the ACC is pretty deep. I mean, NC State's going to be a factor, I think. We'll see Saturday night when they play Tennessee. This is really a great time to be a college football fan in Atlanta because, quite frankly, it all runs through here, and literally at the end it does.
Yeah, give Vandy credit. They got a quarterback, Diego Pavia, right?
He's a playmaker.
He's a player, man. I mean,
that's a 5'10 Brett Favre throwing footballs there.
Well, I watched that game because I was like, Vandy's leading, and then I had it on. It was one of my, you know, games in the corner of my television, and I'm like, okay. And then I got to a point where I had to switch to it because it became so interesting. Mm-hmm. But he was one of the top performers of the week. I mean, listen, Cam Ward. Miller Moss at USC, Garrett Nussmeier, right? I mean, Shador Sanders. These are the guys we're going to be talking about. And this Vandy kid was pretty damn good, too. All right, real quick, we got to shift gears because I know we got to talk some Falcons here. We get you on every week, by the way. You can look forward
to it. Thank goodness. We're playing Sunday. Thank goodness.
Right on.
I'm with you, man. All right. We heard from Justin.
Mike happier than others, Carl, but yeah, thank goodness we're playing Sunday.
Justin Simmons says he's up. He's ramped up. He's ready to go. Matthew Judon, ready to go. And we just got word, and we've been talking about this since the show started, Steelers are going to be without their starting left guard. This is a big deal for that Steeler offensive line. And Mike and I have been saying, Wes, we got to get pressure on Russell Wilson.
One would think. And, you know, the other part about it is, I retweeted this morning. Mike Tomlin said, you know, Arthur Smith, really, there's been no conversation about, you know, personnel and things like that. And I understand because, quite frankly, a lot of the personnel, a lot of the packaging of those personnel's changed. Although Arthur's brought some old friends back. I mean, Cordero Patterson signed last week, so he'll be here on Sunday for the Steelers. I think that there are three real kind of pillars in the game. I think one is the ability, obviously, to pressure the quarterback. And we're going to start with a storyline, and we're going to kind of stay with it for the first six, in my opinion. Second part is, what's Atlanta's run-pass balance like on Sunday? You know, how well can they run the ball with the offensive line? And then, you know, in the mix of, and I'm not saying down and distance as much as I'm saying what's the percentage is going to be when the game is over. I think you're going to see a little more pass than run, but how many guys are in the throw game? How many different guys catch balls? How many guys, you know, are in the offensive packaging? And then the second part of it is, believe it or not, I think special teams have to be considered here. You know, you've got a return game. You've got big plays. Who handles the explosives better? And if that's special teams, if it's a defensive turnover, if it's an offensive deal, you know, that kind of thing. I think those really become the three things we have to focus on with this team because Atlanta was minus 12 takeaway giveaway last year. We know they ran the ball well, but really did they have offensive explosives? Not many.
Nope.
And can they limit, or by pass rush or by takeaways, the defensive explosives? Because when you think about it, Atlanta got those interceptions from Jesse Bates early in the year, guys, and then had a hard time taking the ball away after that.
Right.
And let's see kind of where it goes Sunday. I think it's going to be really interesting. And Wilson, you know, we're to the age and stage with Russell where his best play is to turn and hand it to Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren. Let's be honest.
It's our man, Wes Durham, talking about the Falcons. You'll hear him and Dave Archer and Squid Billy be in the background as they're covering the Falcons all year long on your flagship, 92.9 The Game. It just seems like we drafted all these skill position players when we really had holes all over the place. But this is the year, Wes, where they finally come to fruition, whether it's Kyle Pitts and Drake London. You already touched on Bijan and maybe being used a little bit better and understanding what they're trying to do in the Zach Robinson offense and scoring a lot of points, which will in turn help the defense.
Yeah, I think the offensive piece of this, we can't assume that every card is going to be turned over on the table in week one, right? I mean,
it's going to be some sloppy stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope that you don't have a lot of unforced errors. I mean, we've seen that in college, right? We've seen a couple teams keep other teams in games because of unforced errors. Yeah. I think for me, I have high expectations for Drake London. I think Kyle Pitts will certainly be, you know, available more. But the term Kirk Cousins used 2 weeks ago, calling Drake a friendly target, that leads me to believe that Drake is a guy he's looking to. And maybe not every snap, but certainly he knows Drake London can make the plays. And then I am really, really interested, and this is just, you know, the guy doing the games talking. I don't have any inside knowledge. What's the Robinson-Algier balance, and when do we see them both in the backfield at the same time? And then when is one a receiver, and when is one the blocking back? I mean, I just think there's some interesting wrinkles here that creates explosives for Atlanta. And do they have a plan and a package that they think will tip somebody's hand with what they do defensively? It may not be Sunday. It might be next Monday in Philly or 2 weeks away for Kansas City, where they can get to a package where they've got you completely hammered. In other words, they've put a group out on the field and you can't match it without calling a timeout. I think that's a real thing now. I really do.
I do too. It's going to be interesting. Our coverage again, by the way, on Sunday begins right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We've got all the action, all the pregame, all the game coverage, all the postgame as the season gets started with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Remember, we get the Eagles Monday night. And then we come back home, and we have the Kansas City Chiefs. That's our first three. But we got to start. Yeah. We got to start Sunday, Wes, with the Steelers.
Yeah, it should be a great environment. I'm excited to be in the building and see what kind of reception this team gets, because I think a lot of people are excited, and they should be.
Right.
You know, and I think they've done the things they've had to do here in training camp with Judon and Justin Simmons to really drive the momentum and. You know, knock on wood, everybody stays healthy, and we'll see what happens when we put it on the tee at 102 on Sunday.
Steelers a bit more injured right now as far as, you know, guys they had to replace. Carl talked about it
right on
the offensive line. Over-under for sacks for us and for them, because they have to get after it, obviously, with T.J. Watt.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, T.J. Watt, right? Oh, by the way, Cam Hayward, too. Mm-hmm. By the way, let's not get lost. They got, how many Haywards they got on the roster? About six.
Because we're 3-4. I was asking you, I'll ask you, you think we blitz a lot or you think it's all the down linemen are supposed to get there?
I think, Mike, I'll tell you this. From somebody who, you know, studies the game like you do, sitting in the seats in between visits to get the beer. Here's, you like that, Carl? Here's where we're going. How many times do you see, like, a combination of Judon, Ellis, Anderson? How does that look, right? Look, they're going to get into sub packages. They're going to change the number of linebackers. I think, you know, everybody says, well, what are they? Are they a, you know, are they a 3-3-5? They might be. On some snaps, they might be 2-3-5. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's crazy what you get. I think all this is a moving target, and I really think it has to do with where they feel like they can dictate the tempo from the defensive side. And I think that's where Jimmy Lake and Raheem and Jerry Gray and the defensive room, they get in there and start thinking about their personnel. Remember what Terry said last week, too, and I don't know if you guys have seen the interview with Torrey on the Falcons website, where Terry talks about they got to the 53, which is really the 69 with the practice squad, right? But they got to the 53, and they put the team together backwards. In other words, they put it from 53 down to 1 based on value. Well, I'm curious, when they get into that discussion, how much of that is flexibility? And remember, Raheem talked about putting guys in certain roles during the preseason who were going to have a chance to make the team, but what was their versatility, and could they focus on a couple different positions? I think there are going to be a couple guys on here to keep an eye on. D'Angelo Malone on special teams, Ebi Keiti, Zach Harrison, rather. We didn't get to see a lot of him in the preseason. T.Q. Graham, what's that look like? If Brandon Dorlus is active, what does that look like? I mean, Aroro probably falls in that same category. I think it's a fascinating team on the defensive side from just a combinations perspective.
You have more flexibility than you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
That's
no question.
That's where people are looking at this from the wrong angle. They don't realize the flexibility and your ability to mix and mingle with, you know, these packages that you're talking about. I'm with you. That's what's going to be interesting. Go ahead.
I think the other part, too, Carl, real quick, is I think offensively, because of the stability you have in the offensive line now.
Yep.
Remember how last couple, 3 years, we've, like, it was Bergeron at left guard. It might have been Dahlman at center. You're kind of locked in with those five guys. Now, you feel good about, you know, Neusel and Hinton and Storm Norton and Javon Gwynn, who are also on the active roster.
You got depth, yeah.
But the reality becomes that offensive line that's been kind of a half-raised red flag the last couple of years, mm-hmm. It's not there now. So what does that mean? That means that, you know, Zach Robinson and those guys can trust Dwayne Ledford and now start mixing and matching based on what they want to try and do offensively, too. I don't think that's been talked about enough either.
We're going to see. It is going to be a challenge. Steelers are not going to come in here and lay down. We got to go get it, but I am looking forward to it Sunday and looking forward to hearing you and our man Dave Archer as well. Thanks for stopping by, Wes. We'll talk to you.
Appreciate it, guys. Welcome back, Mike.
Arrivederci, Wes.
coming up. We have Yeah Man, No Man on the way. Also, hey, man, Dogs win. We'll tell you what Kirby's saying after their win against Clemson and the injury update as well. Is Connor going to join us today, by the way? No Connor today? Because I know we had talked about getting Connor on. We'll grab him over the next couple of days.
And you were at the game.
Yeah, it was great. I'll tell you this, man. Clemson fans were, and rightfully so, Mike, they were hot. When I left, they were hot. A lot of people pointing the finger at Dabo saying, we're in this predicament because of you. You
got to stop the bleeding, man. Not doing it.
All right, man. Coming up, Yeah Man, No Man's next. Week one with Sean Merriman coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that at about 4:15, 4:20. Also, we'll get you caught up on what Kirby had to say after the big win against Clemson and what people are saying about Dabo Swinney as well. But right now, let's get to some guy talk. Or Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Chris is off. He'll be on after we get done tonight at 7. That means Big O has Yeah Man, No Man. Mike will have Guy Talk and fill you in on his great trip to Europe. I think you just posted another picture, by the way.
I did not.
By the way, you just showed me some pictures. Yeah. The sights were incredible, by the way.
Really was, man. And it's hard to explain until even the photos
just
do it justice.
It hits different over there.
It does.
I'm sure. No, man, but you were just showing me in the break. Yeah. And you know I'm busting balls. All right, Big O, what you got, man?
All right. I don't know if you guys watched all of Scottie Scheffler's round on Sunday at the Tour Championship. But there was a moment, I forgot what hole it was, but he was in a bunker. And he hit a shot, and normally golf balls go straight, but this ball took like a hard kind of just veer off to the right side.
Okay.
Just a shank.
And bad it was slice.
It was a horrible slice. And it was great because everybody online was like, oh, Scotty's just like me. He hits the ball just like me with the shank. Ended up winning the Tour Championship in that $25 million purse. And said, I think it's what, 60-some-odd million he's won this year on the Tour.
62, yeah.
An incredible year. But a reporter happened to ask him about that. And you guys remember a couple years ago when Torian Prince was asked after an NCAA tournament game about the concept of rebounding. And he explained, like, the ball comes right off and you grab it with two hands. Well, Scottie did the same with how the sort of mm-hmm. the physics and the science of golf shots happen.
What happened on that shot out of the bunker?
I shanked it.
Why did you shank it?
So there's the club, like there's the straight part of the face, and then over here is the hosel. And on that one specifically, I caught too much of that part of the face. And that's why I went to the right. So it's shaped kind of, you know, a little curve. And then so like if I hit the straight part, it's going to go that way.
No,
you know,
I get that.
And then if I hit this part, it's going to come, you know, towards you.
I know the season. Thank you.
Yeah, man, no man, breaking down that anatomy of a shank shot by Scotty.
That's great. You know, and by the way, Carl was I was off on the days you were over there at East Lake. You know me. I think the golf media is they are the softest of the soft of the media. And again, it's like technical. Well, how did that happen? Like, He's the best pound-for-pound golfer on the planet the last 2 years. And, yes, he is human because even golfers can make a bad shot. So I love the fact that Scotty goes, you know, yeah, you know, you can go this way. If you hit it over the hosel and hit off the toe, it'll go that way. I thought it was great.
I did, too. Yeah. And
it's basically telling the guy you're a dumbass without saying you're a dumbass.
That's exactly what he said. And here's the deal. The deal with these guys is, and you saw it at East Lake, and by the way, they redesigned the course, Mike.
Incredible.
Mm. They really did a good job with it. Working out of trouble is what these guys do.
Right.
Nobody hits great shots all the time. We talk about this. Yes, they're in the fairway, you know, 80% of the time, 90% of the time. But it's working out of trouble. He did that, and it didn't even affect his score. Mm. It's like, it's so what?
Yeah, he bogeyed that hole, and then I think he got a bird to the next hole, so it just it evened out there. Yep. Yeah, one horrible shot, and then he just kind of just went back in with Scotty.
The guy, I saw it. It was a Golf Digest. I think it was on their social media. You take it all the golf he's played this year and the money he's won, he averages out making $880,000 per round.
Wow.
That's how much he's taken in this year.
Wow.
And you're going to ask this guy about one miss hit after you just won the freaking trophy.
That's a hell of a four-day work week.
Yeah, it is.
Who didn't have a good weekend was one Billy Napier down there in Florida. They got rolled by Miami. At one point, I don't know if you guys saw, there was a TikTok of Florida recruits sitting in the stands, and as Miami players are walking off the field, they're very kind of, you know, kindly encouraging them to reconsider their top fives and to kind of exclude Florida and to go ahead and come to the U. At one point, Florida staff had to kind of push Miami players away from recruits because they just kept going up and being like, hey, Florida's not very good, guys. Won't you come to the U? Won't you come to the
U? Don't want
to
coach. This coach ain't going to be here next year, Slim.
Basically, like, hey, just letting you guys know. You're at a visit for a bad school, basically. It gets worse in the press conference. There's a video clip where Billy Napier can't open up a water bottle.
Yes.
I saw that
last night. I was watching on YouTube TV, Carl.
Oh.
And that'll be a buck. You know, that's a dollar where they show that. The highlights, hysterical. And he's literally, the hands are sweaty, it's obviously, it's warm out. It was hysterical.
Just did not work.
The quote was, he not only lost in the field, he lost to the bottle. So that's
he lost to the bottle.
Because he is working that thing, right?
But 0-2.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get any better for Billy because, you know, there's going to be reporters that are going to come at him or they're going to have negative comments after this game. And Billy Napier has comments for them.
Uh-oh.
If we can focus on those things and not necessarily what some guy in his basement saying in, you know, rural Central Florida on social media, then we got a chance to get better, right? So.
Okay.
First of all, I don't think Florida is allowed to have basements, right? There's no basements in Florida, right? No.
Not many. I mean, maybe in Tallahassee you'd have a basement. I don't know, in Gainesville, maybe.
Yeah, South Florida doesn't have basements.
No.
Like, the way the homes are built down there, that's not happening. But with that said, I get his point. But Billy, this is on you. Your team has gotten worse. You've now lost six games in a row going back to last year. Your team is worse offensively, and you're still calling the plays. Your athletic director said we're going to be patient, but yet, Mike, they got a new president that's going to be hired here anytime soon.
Right.
And guess what happens when new presidents come in and the football team's losing?
Adios.
Yeah, they get their own guy.
And the athletic director may get hit, too. 41-17. You know, this is where – and you don't – what you don't do, it's the same thing that happened with us – with Arthur Smith, sometimes in interviews with us, sometimes with the media. When things are not going your way, insulting the fan base and the people who pay your salary as boosters is not the way to go. So, yeah, so basically some nitwit in his basement in Central Florida. Like, whereabouts in Central Florida, Billy? Lake City? You know what are you talking about?
Yes.
Oldsmar? Anyway, but yes, so that's not going to help you win the hearts and minds of people that already had doubts about this season.
Mm. I'm going to end on this. This is not going to make Mike Bell very happy. He saw a stat yesterday that it was the first time in like 40 years where a team that was double-digit favored in their first two games lost both of them, and then it happened to be FSU these first 2 weeks. Double-digit favored in both of their first two games lost both of those games.
Did you go heavy? I asked you. Give me a straight answer. Did you go heavy on the Georgia Tech game?
I'm sorry?
Did you go heavy on the Georgia Tech game?
Is the IRS listening? I can say, a guy hit me up, he's like, yo, I hope you're enjoying this. And I was like, you have no idea. Yes, Mike, very.
I told every,
because them trees can't cut themselves down, Mike.
Well, the number went down, but I got it when it was at its highest. And so I felt really good about this.
I know we got a break. We got a million stories from the vacation. But there was a guy, I'll give him a shout out, Sean O'Halloran. He's a great guy, and he's Irishman. Of course, they have Ladbrokes. You can go right to the pub, and you can go right to that little kiosk and make your bet over there. And I said, you have got to get on Georgia Tech. He goes, really? He goes, you're going betting against your school? I go, I got a bad feeling. I've had a bad feeling about this game all summer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he won about 1,000 pounds. How about them apples?
That's
he went
good.
Heavy.
No, that's good.
But it was just, and if the Boston College number was crazy too, because everyone just expects, as Wes Durham said, you're expecting DJ Uiagalelei to become something he's not.
No.
He's never going to play at the next level. This is as far as he's going to go.
No. This is unfortunately, yeah. And I say that because you wish the best for these kids, but he doesn't have it.
And it's not just on
him. He doesn't have it.
But the quarterback has to perform at any level where you are, Carl. High school, college, pro. Defense has been terrible. They don't tackle, but he's not been great.
Mike, he didn't have it at Clemson. He was okay at Oregon State.
Right.
And he doesn't have it right now.
At Oregon State, they can kind of mask because they have the running back now who's at Miami, Danny
That's right.
Martinez.
That's right.
They had a really good offensive line. So he wasn't asked to do a lot, but now you're asking him to do a little bit more than he was at Oregon State.
Well, last night was an example where your team is down. I know we got to run. Oh, but the team is down. I need you to make plays.
Do something.
Right. And he wasn't able to do it.
And he doesn't know when to run, when to go. You know, when to go, when to throw it.
Shook. So,
anyway, we'll talk about it. Georgia's got a culture. And Georgia, man, you know what? Georgia's so good, even in a year when Kirby doesn't win a national championship, he crushes and destroys another football program. Because Florida State looks friggin' lost right now.
Elite.
Yeah, they are elite. We'll let you know what Kirby says he needs, where he needs more consistency from. Sean Merriman's going to join us as well. It's Dukes and Bell.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.